Blog Talk Radio.
September kicks off with a bang, with a cage match on Raw. Jeff Hardy takes on The Miz, Nakamura and Orton hook up one more time. The King of Trios hits the UK. The Battle of Los Angeles. Rock's Pro Wrestling Guerrilla will have a live report. And we'll talk with all good Anthony Green about Lucha Libre Live. It is September 3rd, 2017. Wrestling Night in America starts now. And hello, you people. Welcome to the program. My name is Pat McNeil. I'm a columnist for the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and website and one half of your PW Torch livecast top guys. Say hello to our main man from Jacksonville, the one and only PW Torch columnist, Greg Parks. Greg?
Hello, Pat. How are you this evening?
I am doing well, and it's good to hear that you're doing well. The number, of course, is 515-605-9345. We have been allotted a good portion of time, and this is a busy weekend, Greg. I wasn't thinking it was a busy weekend when we talked last time, but it is the Battle of Los Angeles. We are two nights in. The third night is about to start, and we were hoping that Zach Zimmerman from Pro Wrestling Net would join us live, but apparently he's quite busy at the moment. He will be texting throughout the evening. We're also going to have Mr. All Good Anthony Green by on the program. But first, we're going to go ahead and take some calls and get you started up. Also, you can reach us pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. As a matter of fact, if I could get this little board to work the way I want it to, why don't we go ahead and take an email first? Thank you. Okay. Yeah, three people get that joke. Cody LeBlanc writes, "Hey, Pat and Greg, I have a couple of questions. Hold on a moment, and if I can get this email open, we'll be ready to ask. What happened to the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic with the success of the Mae Young Classic and the other network tournaments in the past? I'm left wondering why WWE is not promoting something similar with tag teams around the world." Well, Greg, do you have a partial answer for Cody from Thibodeau?
All I can do is speculate about that. I know that, you know, with the Mae Young Classic and a lot of the focus of the people in NXT were on getting that up and running for the summer. Certainly, I wouldn't 100% completely rule it out for the fall. That could be something they do there. Look, they're not doing the Cruiserweight Classic like they did last year. So if they did Cruiserweights last year, the women's tournament this year, there's always a possibility that they could do a summer-long tag team tournament next year. I don't think you could run it right now. Just by the numbers that they have in NXT as far as tag teams, you'd certainly have to bring some more tag teams in. And again, the concentration is on the Mae Young Classic. That was a big coup for WWE, getting them some mainstream publicity and things of that nature for really extending the women's revolution now to NXT and to this tournament. So I think that's where all their attention was this summer.
Okay, yeah, I've also heard that that's something they're considering for the fall after they get the Mae Young tournament out of the way. Which, by the way, the finals of the Mae Young tournament a mere 9 days away, Greg.
Yeah, and the first round, the first four episodes were posted on the WWE Network this Monday. If you haven't seen it, I certainly recommend it. Each episode's about somewhere between 40 and 50 minutes in running time. You know, we're not getting any four-star classics yet in the first round, but it's real interesting because I think a lot of the women that we're seeing in the Mae Young Classic are going to be signed to NXT if they aren't already. And, you know, if you're a big fan of developmental, if you're a big fan of NXT, you can familiarize yourself with some of these women in watching that first round.
Yes. I mean, I mean, these are women from outside the world. I mean, these are women that, you know, they say that these are the top non-WWE women from around the world. I mean, not all of them, but there are some darn good ones in there. And
there's a lot of different characters. There's a lot of different looks. You know, for a long time, WWE had recruited a certain type of woman to their roster.
Bikini models.
And we've seen that expand in the last few years. And I think when you watch the Mae Young Classic, you really see how inclusive WWE tried to be with their recruiting of women for this tournament.
Yeah, it's actually quite impressive. Okay, second question from Cody. What are the odds that Sage Beckett debuts on Raw in the future of Sister Abigail? Well, I mean, nothing against Sage Beckett. I don't think they wanted to have anybody in a Sister Abigail gimmick. I mean, that's the last I heard.
That's what it sounds like, and I can't remember if it was Bray Wyatt or a former writer who maybe Kevin Eck who commented on the Sister Abigail character, how it was never really meant to be a person. It was never meant to be a way to introduce a new character into the WWE universe. It was just almost a conversation piece for Bray Wyatt.
I know we've got people on hold, but one more shot before we go to we're going to go to the Twitter. It is going to be Wes. Hold on. Let me find this guy. Yes, Wesley Platt writes, I'm a big fan of yours and Greg's show. This is on Twitter. How many women do you think the WWE will sign from the Mae Young Classic? That's a big question. I think what it depends on, Greg, is whether their plans are to do a weekly one-hour women's show like they were talking about doing with the one-hour UK show and like they've done with 205 Live. That would change things dramatically. If they did that, I would say that they would need at least to sign at least 12 women for that.
Sure, and it's hard for me to put a number on it. If they want to do a women's show, I think it would be hard to find the time, you know, on the WWE network. Obviously, there are days of the week that, you know, you could throw it on a Thursday night or a Friday night on the network, but then the question becomes, when do you tape it? Do you tape it after a marathon NXT taping? Do you try to tape it after a main roster show, which we've seen has really hurt 205 Live doing it after SmackDown? So logistically, there are some issues that go beyond just signing a bunch of women. And you know, maybe they're looking at 205 Live and saying, you know, maybe it was a mistake maybe to sign all these cruiserweights. We're not getting a lot of bang for our buck out of 205 Live or the cruiserweight division on Raw. So maybe they see what happened with 205 Live, and maybe the idea was to have a women's show, but now with that not doing as well as they had hoped, perhaps they say, well, let's hold off on this women's thing. And they could sign a half dozen, 6 to 10, just for NXT alone, although they have a lot of women who are coming up and set to debut in NXT. So, certainly more if they plan on having a women's exclusive show.
Okay, let's see. Oh, well, I know there's a couple people on hold. I want to get to this one before we get rolling here. Question from the chat room from Iconic One. All right.
Is he the only one that's ever in the chat room? I feel like he's the only one that ever has questions.
It does feel that way. Can Greg Parks take the nickname Mr. P instead of Master P, I guess?
I get that a lot, actually, from students in my classes who want to call me Mr.
Yo,
P.
Yo, Mr.
And
P, yo.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound right, so I always tell the kids no. So I'll go for no on this one, too.
Okay, do you have a gang of students who call themselves the Sweat Hogs?
I do not. Not yet, anyway.
Okay. All right, well, maybe some of them will after they listen tonight. Again, our number, 515-605-9345. Tell you what, we're going to take our opening break, and when we come back... Hold on. No. First of all, I'm not going to push that button again. When we come back, we'll have more of your calls, questions, emails, and we'll be talking more about the huge weekend we're having in the huge week coming up. This is Wrestling Night in America.
Rich Fan, formerly of the Primetime Friday Laughcast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here because Saturday nights on the live cast are officially all right for diving.
Wrestling Night in America returns here on PW Torch Livecast. I'm Pat McNeil. My co-host is Greg Parks, 515-605-9345. By the way, if you would like even more wrestling podcasts than you're already getting, well, you should become a VIP member at pwtorch.com. It's $10 a month, $99 a year. pwtorch.com/govip. You not only get all of these podcasts on your RSS feed, complete with the ads taken out of them. And believe me, I've heard the version of the show that they put extra ads in, which is if you're not listening live, that's what you get. You're gonna want the ads taken out of there. Just trust me on that. Plus, you get every week lots of VIP articles. You get on the VIP message board. You get on the ad-free PW Torch website, which in and of itself justifies the cost of your subscription. And there's something else you get with your subscription to VIP. The membership at pwtorch.com.
Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Yes, the PW Torch newsletter printed every week for almost 30 years now. Actually, I think it might be over 30 years. That's there, pwtorch.com. And a column from Greg Parks every week. Greg, what will you be writing about this week?
Well, I haven't put pen to paper on it yet, so I'm not ready to reveal. But I will say, if you do get the newsletter this past week's column, I took a look at the championship, WWE championship, and the Universal Championship, and how it was defended over the summer, and who the contenders may be for the fall coming up.
Yes, all that sort of stuff. Plus, Bruce Mitchell talks about his buddy John Cena. That's all in this week's PW Torch newsletter. Again, pwtorch.com/govip makes a great gift for friends or family alike. We are back. More Wrestling Night in America. Greg, are you ready to go to the phones?
Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. 515-605-9345. We begin our odyssey in the 615 area code. 615, please state your name and town. You are on Wrestling Night in America.
Hey, guys, this is Kenny from Galveston, a CPIP member, and I just want to let you know that I downloaded the Fight app yesterday, and I got to watch Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. You know, it's one of the many shows and content that's on there, and I was watching it, and they made an announcement. In fact, they even made an announcement on their Twitter page that Alberto El Patron is scheduled to appear on some TV tapings for that promotion, I think Sunday, September 10th, so 1 week from today, he's going to be appearing on some tapings for that promotion.
There you go. That's a big Wrestling Night in America. Yes, Kenny did send a link to where that is posted. That is on the Championship Wrestling from Hollywood's Twitter account. We've had people from that company on before. I think Todd Kennelly, I've had him on the live cast before. That's interesting that he's not on Global Force, but he's going to be part of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Greg.
Yeah, Alberto El Patron, he's got the name value. He's got some value to some of these independent companies. His personal life notwithstanding, guys like him are always going to get second and third and fourth chances. But I hope he's got everything cleared up and cleaned up heading into his championship Wrestling from Hollywood appearance.
The man is wrestling royalty, Greg. You got to take that into account.
That's true. He's had the big stage. He's had success in WWE. So there are promoters, and I'm not saying this specifically of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, but there are promoters who are willing to look the other way on some of his transgressions because he has the name value and he can draw for some of these smaller companies.
Well, that's a question for Dave Marquez, I guess, who I think he's still the promoter over there. Also, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood wants you to know Joey Janela is coming in for a few weeks. So there you go. All right, let's see. Okay, we got a text from Zach. I was hoping I'd get more insight onto the first couple rounds of the first couple rounds of Battle of Los Angeles. Hopefully he can make it around to calling in. But apparently there was a wild match last night between Walter and Keith Lee that caused some damage to the ring that I wanted more information about. I'm sorry, Kenny. Continue. That is a big story. Thank you for breaking that for us.
Oh, you're welcome. I was looking very closely to see if I can find a link on it on their website, but I decided to go to Twitter, and sure enough, it was there. And it's funny, you know, you mentioned that, and, you know, it's like, for me, it's been really strange for me with the summer. Like, I made a decision to start watching a lot more wrestling than I've had, including Raw, SmackDown, you know, the usual stuff. But the fact that I can now have access, thanks in large part to this, well, new technology, streaming services, a single pro wrestling show for me to watch every week, including the Ring of Honor show. We get it here locally on Saturday nights.
So right, and it comes up on Fight on Monday night, yeah.
Yeah, that too. It kind of brings up something that I had seen a video late last night on YouTube where a guy called in on another show. You know, he was trying to defend, you know, the decline in WWE's ratings, and he made a comment that pro wrestling was more popular than ever before because of the many ways that we're getting access to all this stuff, you know? And you know, I kind of had to take a real listen to what he said, you know, and I won't say that he was perfect or dead on, but he made a valid point in the sense that I look at what's going on with the streaming services and with the podcasts, like, you know, this show here in particular, and even some of like the traditional sports journalism like Sports Illustrated that it never would even cover pro wrestling seriously are now treating it like they would, thanks in large part, I think, to MMA success, that pro wrestling has been considered more mainstream in some ways than it had over 30 years. And really my question to you guys is sort of like a little tidbit, because I know you guys cover the scene more than I do. Would you make that case that in a way, because of how we get access to pro wrestling, that in many ways it is more popular now than, let's say, 20 years ago at the height of the Monday Night Wars? Or is it just because they're not getting the casual fans to watch the shows that it makes a big difference in that?
Okay, Greg, I don't know that I would say that wrestling is more popular than that's ever been because, you know, as everybody south of Jim Cornette will point out, there are fewer promotions, which means fewer wrestlers, which means fewer live events, which means fewer people attending, and fewer people making money off the business. On the other hand, the quality of wrestling that is out there is, you know, I mean, from a technical standpoint, it is probably, you know, if you look at all these, count all these, lump all these promotions together, there's probably as much good wrestling out there as there's ever been, and maybe even more when you throw in the on-demand stuff.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, I think when you go back to the height of the Attitude Era, the Monday Night War era, and you look at the ratings for that versus today, it's a no-brainer, and you could stop right there. But if you look at, you know, that was one of the only metrics back then. You had that, you had live attendance and things of that nature to look at as far as numbers. But today you've got, you know, the ratings. You've got the WWE Network subscriptions. You've got YouTube views. You've got social media followers. You've got all the clearances that WWE has, and I'm just talking about WWE just to simplify things here for this argument, because, you know, this could go on for days. But you look at all of the ways that WWE reaches fans all over the world compared to, say, 20 years ago, and I think they have many more clearances in different countries, so you have more people watching in different countries probably than ever before. So when you look at it like that, I think you could probably make a case for today, but I don't think it's certainly as hot, even with all the mainstream coverage on ESPN, Sports Illustrated, all the major sports websites now have a section devoted to not pro wrestling, but WWE. And, you know, when I was in high school and in middle school when the Attitude Era was on, and I mean, it was something everybody talked about every day. You know, it was a fad. I mean, to be honest with you, it came and went as popularity for most people my age. I just don't get the sense that wrestling is as hot as it was back then with as many people interested in it. But certainly there are a lot of different avenues that WWE can look at to say, okay, people, how are people consuming this product? It's not just ratings, but it's, like I said, YouTube views, things like that. So there are more of those types of metrics than there were back then, and more, certainly more ways to reach people today.
And the other thing you mentioned, well, I mean, the initial use of it in mainstream publications, mainstream shows, mainstream networks. I think a lot of that is due to, in the fact, you know, in the 70s and 80s and before the 70s and 80s, when pro wrestling was more popular, you know, the sports journalists and the, you know, thought, well, this is a fake sport. How dare they get away with pretending to be a real sport? Now everybody's like, well, it's a fake sport, and that's okay. It's just entertainment. It doesn't. It's not really. There are a few people which consider, you know, pro wrestling to be a threat to through traditional sports. And I mean, again, during the Monday Night Wars, there was talk. Well, look at how Monday Night Wrestling is beating Monday Night Football in the ratings. There is no semblance of that 20 years later. As a matter of fact, as we talked about before, you know, a couple weeks ago, ESPN on Monday night put on a New York Giants exhibition football game that beat Raw in the ratings. There's nobody arguing that, you know, there's nobody arguing that football isn't going to take a dent out of Raw. I mean, it's the ratings are going to be down. They're not going to be down by a lot because wrestling fans are wrestling fans and will watch, you know, through thick and thin for the most part. But it's there are going to be more distractions out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that really answered your question, though, Kenny.
I totally agree with you. It's just that the distractions are just amazing. You know, like you said 20 years ago, it was easier to watch an episode of Raw. Even if you didn't like the show, you at least had really no much of an option, really, because of the fact you just had the cable TV providers primarily just through the television. But now, between the advancements of technology through, you know, fast computers and phones and tablets, you know, if you don't like what you're seeing, you can always find something else and do it really super fast.
Mm-hmm. And Monday night is more of a big TV night. You will trot out the Dancing with the Stars and American Ninja Warriors and whatever, you know, whatever deal is going on network television, and whatever that fad is, WWE still has to deal with that. Okay.
Oh,
do you have a third question, Kenny?
Oh, no. I'm like you. I'm intrigued. I didn't even think about the idea of a Battle of Los Angeles was going on this weekend. It's funny, since I did watch Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
Shame on me.
I didn't even stop to think. Yes,
I didn't
too.
Either.
In fact, I was watching the Texas A&M and UCLA college football game, and I saw that it wasn't sold out, and I'm like, I wonder why. And now it makes sense. It
well, now you know.
Makes sense.
There's 400 empty seats. There's 400 empty seats because of the Battle of Los Angeles taking place in Reseda.
There you go. Well, anyway, I'll let you guys get back on. Hopefully, we'll get some more insight on what's going on in that event. You guys have a good Labor Day weekend.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Kenny. Kenny checking in from Tennessee.
Bye-bye.
Open up the line for you. 515-605-9345. Wow, that was a lack of preparation today. Okay. Let's move on to our next caller. It is Anonymous from Anonymousville. Please state your name and town. You're on Wrestling Night in America with Pat and Greg. Hello.
Hey, it's Craig from Toledo.
Hold on just a moment. Greg? Greg Parks?
Yeah.
That wasn't Greg's dog. Greg, it's Craig from Toledo.
Why does Craig come in as Anonymous? Is he trying to hide his number from us?
I don't know, but we—I don't know—we've prepared the special introduction for Craig from Toledo. Oh, that's not the right one. I'm sorry, Craig. Okay. We'll do better next. We'll do better. We'll do better next week. Okay, Craig. What can we do for you?
I don't have a phone. I call from Skype. I don't have a phone number,
okay.
Or phone, anything. So I call from Skype. That's why it's like muffled and whatever. And
okay.
That dog was my dog, just being a jerk.
I had a hunch.
I wanted to ask you guys about the timing of the Mae Young Classic coming out. It came out at 9 a.m., and
mm-hmm.
Which is
on
perfect
Monday.
For me because I
– Tuesday.
Yeah. It was like I work nights, so it's great for me to – because I kept refreshing just, you know, I wanted to watch it. It said it was coming out on Monday, but I didn't know what time. And then I refreshed right after I got done watching Taz's show, and it came up, and it was like, oh, this is awesome. So I binge-watched it all at, like, 9:30 or whatever it was. But
great.
I was wondering, like, the timing of the shows that release on the network, like, you know, the Bring It to the Tables and the, you know, whatever, Ride Along, Table for Three, things like that.
Right.
Because they always have them come out after Raw. But wouldn't it be good to have them as like a pregame for Raw? Because more people, I think, would watch it before Raw as like, you know, they're getting ready to watch Raw than to stay up later than 11:30 or whatever to watch the thing on the network.
That is a good point, and one that was talked about. I think they're experimenting with the idea of doing the binge stuff like this because they, you know, in order to sound more like to seem more like Netflix. But they could have released these 1 week at a time, starting several weeks ago, and done it that way.
I've got two thoughts on Craig's proposition there. The first thing is, if you release it before Raw, how do you tell people that it's going to be on? See, when they release it right after Raw, they can do bumpers, they can do ads for it during Raw to remind people that it's going to come up right after Raw. If you do it before Raw, I mean, you tell them maybe Tuesday night on SmackDown and hope that the people remember almost a week later. So I think it's, as far as getting it to stick in people's minds, it's easier to advertise during Raw something that's going to happen right after Raw. The other thing is, I don't think they want to take a dent out of Raw's ratings by putting something right before Raw, expecting you to watch that, and then asking you to watch 3 hours plus of Raw. I think even if it was a half hour or 45 minutes of something before Raw, I think people would check out of Raw earlier because it's just so much wrestling. Whereas if it's after Raw, you've already watched the entire episode of Raw, you've already got the ratings. They don't really pay that close attention, or it's not as important to watch something that's on the WWE Network right at that moment as much as it is to watch Raw right at that moment. So if somebody says, Table for Three's on, but I just don't have the willpower to do another half hour of wrestling, I'll check that out later, it's not as big of a deal as if someone watches something before Raw and checks out in the middle of Raw. So a couple reasons maybe why they don't do that kind of stuff before.
Okay, Craig, important question. So give the audience, since you're calling anyway, we might as well put you to use. Give the audience your impression, having watched the first four episodes of the Mae Young Classic.
Oh, I was blown away. It was Cruiserweight Classic like. It was like the UK thing. It was just like this awesome little like 3 hour window that was better than. I mean, I was at a bar in New York watching SummerSlam, and this was better than that. Just seeing all these different new characters come up and mm-hmm. having like hoping, you know, not, and I have had no spoilers and I'm avoiding spoilers like the plague. Yeah. And so I'm like, I'm just watching these characters develop, trying to figure out who's going to win, who's going to get signed. Like there's women that lost that I was like, oh man, she was great. How did she lose? She's out in the first round. I hope they sign her, you know, like people like that all over the place. So I called Rich yesterday and talked to him about it. And I really want them to try to do something with the women as far as like a Woman of Honor thing, like not like a 205 Live thing where they're a weekly hour long show. I want it to be like a, you know, monthly or semi-monthly just with just women. On the network, you know, something like that. With all, I mean, not, it doesn't have to be everyone that was involved, but, you know, combine everybody, NXT, SmackDown, Raw, these guys, you know, all of them together. Because I think they could make a great show out of it.
Okay, Greg, you know, speaking of that idea, and I know what Craig's talking about, they actually did like a 2 hour UK special, which they put up on the network in May, and I think that they were disappointed with the fact that it didn't get the audience they thought it would.
Yeah, and we haven't heard much about that going forward. You know, a UK show was supposed to be in the offing, and that seems to be they're either dragging their feet or it's kind of off the table at this point. I think
it's the price of airline tickets, really. If you're going to do a weekly UK show, you pretty much have to have everybody who's doing that show either based in the UK or you're bringing everybody over here.
Right. And you do have these UK guys under contract. You could do a every 3 months do a special or every 4 months do a special on the WWE Network with these guys. But, you know, you want to do something else with them in the meantime. It's fine if they're wrestling independents in the UK and attaching WWE's name to these guys. We're seeing, I think, with the upcoming NXT airings that they're getting the UK guys more involved in that brand, and I think that's smart. When you separate the women, and maybe it won't be that big of a deal for the women, but we've seen a problem with the cruiserweights too, is when you give them the purple ropes, when you give them their own show, when you kind of treat them differently from the rest of the show, it hurts their presentation. Right now, the women are just as part of Raw as the men, and it's seamless almost. If you start separating them and doing their own show and doing things like that, I just wonder if you're going to run into the same problem with the cruiserweights. I guess if they're presented the same way on Raw and not differentiated like the cruiserweights are, there may not be a problem doing a separate show. But that's, again, WWE is probably taking a lot of lessons from what they did with the cruiserweights and trying to figure out what to take out of the presentation, what to keep in presenting the women too.
Okay, is that Craig's three questions there? Craig, I'm trying to remember.
I wasn't counting. I'm sorry.
I wasn't keeping track, but I'm done. I'm sorry, guys. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Craig. Craig drops off. That opens up the line for you, 515-605-9345. We have a guest, and we have another full hour of Wrestling Night in America still to come. So don't touch that dial. We will be right back.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
And we're back with more Wrestling Night in America here on PW Torch Livecast. The number is 515-605-9345. But whatever you do, don't call that number now. We are going to try and reach our guest for this evening. Hold on, dialing up. Pat McNeil, Greg Parks here. Okay, let's see if we can get this to work.
Hello?
Hello, may I speak to Mr. All Good Anthony Green?
That's me. How are you doing?
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from Lucha Libre Live and from a number of other indie promotions, All Good Anthony Green making his appearance on the show. Thank you for taking time out on your trip back.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Hold on a moment. There we go. Okay, now, earlier today, Anthony was part of a big show in Norristown, Pennsylvania, for a company called Lucha Libre Live, which had a number of Lucha Libre legends on there. Anthony, who did you wrestle?
So today I wrestled a Ring of Honor Dojo student. His name is Ryan Nova. Trained by Delirious as the head trainer alongside Cheeseburger and Will Ferreira.
Okay, and Will also wrestled on the show, I believe.
Yeah, he wrestled Chikara Star Icarus today. They actually had one hell of a match. I got a chance to watch it. It was really, really entertaining.
Okay, and I'm told Cortez Castro was also there.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I'm told Ricky Reyes was there.
Yeah, he actually was in the main event. There was a six-man tag match featuring Especial Jr., Connect Jr., Ricky Reyes as well, Cortez Castro from Lucha Underground, and it seems like they're going to be building up to the next event, which is on October 8th back in Norristown, Pennsylvania, where we're going to see Ricky Reyes go one-on-one with Connect Jr.
Okay, that sounds awfully interesting. Now, first of all, Anthony, I know some of your background. You were trained by Spike Dudley?
Yes, originally trained by Spike Dudley, and I now currently train with Brian Fury at the New England Pro Wrestling Academy, which was formerly known as the Killer Kowalski School of Professional Wrestling.
Right. Tell us about you have worked in Alpha One and House of Hardcore. What other indie promotions would we remember you from?
Ones that you guys would be more familiar with. I've wrestled for Chikara's Young Lions Cup in 2014. Yes, okay. I lost in the first round to Rex Lawless. If you're familiar with Paragon Pro Wrestling, they're based out of Las Vegas, Nevada. They had TV for a short time. They were on Fight TV as well, but they were on the Fight Network in Canada. They were on MSG in New York for a little bit, and they were also on Pop TV on Saturday mornings before TNA was on Pop TV as well.
Paragon.
Other than that, Paragon. Other than that, I wrestle locally in the Boston area. I wrestle for Chaotic Wrestling, which is my home promotion. I also wrestle for Limitless Wrestling, and from time to time, I wrestle for a very well-known social media company, which is Beyond Wrestling, as well.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of them. That's very nice, them being described as a social media company. I hadn't thought of that one, Greg.
Yeah, they're very they originally started solely as YouTube exclusive matches. When Beyond Wrestling originally started, they were only studio tapings. They did not allow fans. It was just wrestlers wrestling for the wrestlers, which they'll do from time to time. Nowadays, it's used as a tryout. It's an opportunity not only for us to get on their bigger shows, but it's also a chance for us to get viewed by 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 people on a match on YouTube.
Okay. Greg, question?
Yeah, Anthony, first, thanks for being on the show tonight.
Of course.
Whenever we have guys who have the kind of indie experience that you have on this show, I like to ask a question about your general feeling about the independent scene today, because it is so – there's so many different places for guys to wrestle, so many different styles out there, and it really is – an interesting time to be an observer of the independent scene. So, I mean, what's your take on the independent scene as a whole? Do you think it's continuing to grow? Is there room to grow as far as the independents, at least in the United States? And, you know, we have the effect of successful independents in the UK, in Australia as well. I mean, what's your kind of big picture take on the indie scene today?
As cliche as it sounds, I think wrestling is in, at least independent wrestling's in a boom period right now, especially with WWE taking so many guys from us, like taking Adam Cole away, Donovan Dijak, Leo Rush, Red Dragon, other guys that have left in the past couple of years, Chris Hero's gone again, or Kimberly. All that's doing is leaving opportunities for guys like me, guys like JT Dunn, Ace Romero. These are all local guys in that area that are now catching a lot of buzz in PWG and CZW, as well as other independent promotions. So for me, it's just it's an opportunity. I hate to say when one door closes, another one opens, but it's the truth. Like Adam Cole, Ring of Honor lost 4 or 5 guys in the matter of 6 months. So those spots need to be filled. And they're going to be filled by those guys like Marty Scurll and Jay Lethal's always been on top, and guys like Jay White that are trying to come up. And then there's going to be those spots that are going to be vacant, and they're going to need guys like me and Ace Romero and Josh Briggs to take over those spots. So right now I would say independent wrestling, if you're an independent wrestler and you're not trying your hardest, all you have to do is try a little bit and you're going to catch buzz, especially with social media now, with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can get famous based off a GIF nowadays. So, anything's possible.
To follow up that, you mentioned the social media aspect. Is it necessary, or maybe how necessary is it for an independent wrestler to have a strong social media presence on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to get their name out there? Is that something that's just kind of a nice bonus if you do that, or is that something guys really need to do to spread the word and get their name out there?
You 100% nowadays, you need social media. Without social media, no one knows who you are. You have a cell phone, but how is the promoter going to even know who you are to begin with? With the internet, you can make a highlight reel. No one sends out quote-unquote tapes anymore. No one sends out resumes anymore. Everything's done online. You send them a YouTube link with your entrance cut out. You send the promoter the match. Most people can have a Google document nowadays with your resume on it. And all you got to do is send him a couple pictures instead of wasting a promotional 8x10 or something. It's just much easier now. I've gotten booked on many shows just because I was bored one day and mass emailed 15, 20 different promotions with the exact same cut and paste email, with the exact same match, exact same photos, and you're going to catch at some point. And when it comes to fans, I think that's very important. Just staying connected with the fans, answering questions on Twitter. If a fan is going to go out of their way to tweet you, the least you can do is tweet them back, you know?
Right. That's a good point. And as somebody who's done the unsuccessful indie promoting thing before, send your full match. Do not just cut out the parts where you do moves. That's sort of telling. 100%. Yeah, that's sort of telling the promoter you don't understand what wrestling's about, and it's just it's just awkward for everybody. But okay. I have a question. I have a serious question for you, Anthony. I contacted the promotion to get somebody to talk to about today's show, and of all the big names, the press agent chose you, who are
okay.
So and I looked up the guy who's the press agent online, and he's the boyfriend of Jesse Bonesaw Brooks. So I'm wondering how did you get this guy to throw his girlfriend under the bus for you?
I see you're facetious with the serious question. Wow, that's a great. I've actually known Chris a really long time. We've become really good friends. We met in 2012, and I was just a referee at the time. We both refereed on the same show. And we just always had a bond. And I think just like you were a promoter, so you would know, you always trust somebody. Like, you know, the man you're going to put the heavyweight title on, the man that's going to win the title, is going to be someone you trust. And
right.
He trusts
that's
me
true.
To be the voice. He trusts me to be the voice of Lucha Libre Live. And honestly, you probably would have had a little bit of trouble interviewing some of the bigger names, I guess you would say.
Well, I mean, yeah, I do want somebody who, you know, this is not a Spanish language show, so yes, that is an issue. I understand that. Okay, but all right. So you were watching the show today. What did you enjoy most about the newer promotion, Lucha Libre Live?
Honestly, what I thought was really cool was the community feel that the show had. There was a good amount of wrestling fans there. But a lot of the people there, the Norristown community is a very Latin-based community. So there are a lot of people just there to support a Latin-based thing. They said, this is something from our culture. We're going to go and support it. And honestly, they had a blast. They didn't sit on their hands at all. I purposely came out to Gasolina by Daddy Yankee to get the crowd, you know, get the crowd hype as the opening contest tonight. And I danced with a very pretty young lady. So thank you again, April, for the dance. She's not listening to this, but it's okay. She followed me on Instagram though. So again, back to social media, very important. But just the feel was really, it was different. It felt more like a festival than it did just, you know, a regular mom-and-pop wrestling show.
Okay, that's very important. So you're doing a Lucha Libre show in a Hispanic community. How many heels came out wearing Make America Great shirts?
Zero.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Yeah,
okay, now I'm,
no,
now
yeah,
I'm impressed.
No cheap heat. No cheap heat.
No Hijo de Trump?
No.
Okay.
No building of the wall, none of that.
All right. That's good. Okay. Well, where can people see you around the Northeast here in the coming weeks?
Oh, man. Next week, every week, XWA Wrestling, based out of Warwick, Rhode Island, runs Thursday Night Throwdown. They have shows every single Thursday, and they cap it off once a month with a big Saturday show where they brought in some of the best of the best. Last month in July, they had their huge Resolution show, which was main evented by Rey Mysterio versus Ricochet. And the undercard was just as awesome. Myself and my tag partner, Ace Romero, became the first ever, the inaugural XWA Tag Team Champions, defeating two local wrestlers, Mike Grasso and Josh Briggs. as well as the current Global Force Wrestling / Impact Wrestling Tag Team Champions, LAX, better known as EYFBO on the Independents.
They're great.
The upcoming show, they've yet to announce any names for their big event coming up on the 23rd of September. If I know the promoter well enough, he's going to have a few really cool surprises. And then also the day before that, I am wrestling for Limitless Wrestling Westbrook, Maine. And that show is stacked. I'll be wrestling in a competitive contest against my tag partner, Ace Romero, with my trainer, Brian Fury, as a special guest referee to see who really is the top dog in the company. And that's the main event. But though we're the main event, I would say the showcase match of the evening is a very odd pairing between – it is going to be Jack Swagger going one-on-one with A.R. Fox.
Probably interesting.
Definitely. The rest of the card is nuts. Teddy Hart will be wrestling. Maxwell Jacob Friedman. They just announced today J.T. Dunn versus Joey Janela, the king of the indies, as he calls himself. Hornswoggle's on the show. Joey Ryan as well.
Okay, well, thank you very much for being on the show, talking about Lucha Libre Live. Say, Anthony, how can people follow you on social media and see what you're up to?
Your best bet, I'm on Snapchat, I'm on Instagram, and I'm on Twitter under the same name, which is at AllGoodAG, AllGoodAG. That's the best way.
Okay, that's cool. I might pass on the Snapchat, but the rest sounds good. Thank you very much. All good, Anthony Green, ladies and gentlemen.
Have a good one.
Okay. Well, that was fun. 515-605-9345. We're about due for our break in our second half of the show. Okay, he seems like I hope he's one of these kids that we're going to be talking about more in the next couple of years, Greg.
That'd be a lot of fun. Seems like a really down-to-earth guy and knows his stuff.
All right, we're due for a timeout. We'll come back. We've got a lot more to talk about, including a legend leaving the SmackDown booth. Stay tuned.
I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown, with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
I'm back with more Wrestling Night in America here on PW Torch Livecast, number 515-605-9345. Update on the Battle of Los Angeles. It does not look like Night 3 is underway yet based on Zach's Twitter feed. Night 2 was apparently crazy enough, Greg. Not only did we have Keith Lee and Walter tear down the building, in Keith Lee getting the win. The main event with a damaged ring, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks beat Phoenix, Pentagon Dark, and Flamita in a trios match. So just more of the improbable indies that take place in Southern California.
And that's one of the things that you got to love about PWG is, you know, they make a big production of announcing the Battle of Los Angeles lineup on Twitter, and some of the matchups, it's like, where do they come up with these? They're exciting, they're fresh, they're new, and it's hard to imagine with so many top indie guys out there wrestling every weekend. You'd think that a lot of the unique matches would eventually dry up, and here comes PWG dropping stuff on you that you want to see that you never knew you wanted to see until you saw it on a PWG lineup.
Yeah, I never knew I wanted to see Michael Elgin versus Matt Riddle, for example.
There you go.
That was night two. And a tag match of Matt Sydal and Ricochet versus Zack Sabre and Marty Scurll.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Not just not just the singles matches, not just the tournament matches of Battle of Los Angeles, but the tag matches, like you said as well, make for some very interesting matchups.
Yes, 515-605-9345. Okay, let's talk about this story that's broken over the weekend. Our good friend JBL John Layfield is giving up his job as SmackDown color commentator to help the underprivileged, and he actually, I mean, this is not something out of nowhere. He's done a lot for, you know, he's set up a rugby program for disadvantaged youth in Bermuda and lives in Bermuda doing a lot of helpful stuff there. It does seem kind of out of nowhere, so I'm conspiracy theory one. Was this something that stems from JBL allegedly bullying Mauro Ranallo that maybe they decided to wait until the heat died down to let him go, so it didn't look like that was the cause?
I think it was Pro Wrestling Sheet had reported that this was JBL's decision, and he did inform WWE officials a while back, maybe around the time of the Mauro situation. So maybe he thought, well, this is a good opportunity for me to head off into the sunset, so to speak.
Okay, so maybe he announced it back then, and they didn't want to announce it back then because then it would look like, you know, something bad had happened. Which, of course, it didn't because this is WWE. Okay. Yeah. Now, the second question is, who's the favorite to replace JBL as color commentator? I, of course, am going with the obvious front-runner, David Otunga.
Well, that's the thing. You've got Booker T now on Raw. David Otunga must be filming the longest movie ever made because it feels like he's been off TV for, you know, 6 to 9 months already, which... You know, I don't know what his role in the movie is, but he must be the top billing to be off for this long to film a movie.
He's producing
so
the entire
when he
movie.
Back,
he, is,
guess,
he is the best boy, the gaffer, and the key grip in addition to starring in it.
Yeah, it would have to be, I would think. You know, with Booker on Raw, I don't know what WWE's opinion of Booker T on Raw is. I know what my opinion is of him on Raw, and it's a very low opinion. But
And that's where we disagree, because my opinion is it's awesome to have, if I've got to put up with 195 minutes of Raw every Monday night, I want the possibility of a complete train wreck happening during any segment.
I guess that's one way to look at it, and that's a way to take a positive from such a major negative. But I would say move Booker to SmackDown, though, because you can't have Otunga and Saxton on the same commentary table. That's not offering anything. That's like having the same guy, probably reciting the same line. So my thought was, if you wanted to keep Booker and Otunga on commentary, move Booker to SmackDown, put Otunga back on Raw. I don't think that's what they should do. I think there must be better options somewhere, even if you move Nigel McGuinness up to SmackDown, which is not something I think they'll do at this point. But to me, that's a better option than sticking with Otunga and Booker.
Well, I want to throw this out there, too. This past Monday, we saw with Booker T, you know, unable to travel, we saw Jerry Lawler make his return to commentary. And, you know, given that he's still Jerry Lawler, I thought it went very well. Is that a real possibility that at least for a short term, like a couple of months, we get Lawler in there with Saxton and Tom Phillips?
I thought Lawler did a nice job, too, on Monday night. I think it's possible for the short term, but, you know, the reasons they took him off commentary haven't changed. So unless this is one of Vince McMahon's whims and he decides to backtrack on what he originally wanted, I guess you could see him on there. But that hasn't changed, so I can't imagine them putting him there for the long term.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like they're, you know, it seems like for a company that should have a ton of options here, they don't have many, and that's because of the way they look at announcers and the way they look at commentators. And part of it is, we don't want somebody who's not good looking on the screen for the 30 seconds that the announcers are on screen every week.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing. We've seen them look outside the box, I talked about earlier how they are really expanding their field of search for the women. They're expanding what's acceptable on the male side. You know, having a cruiserweight show was unthinkable a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Now that they're doing that and they're really accepting of so many kinds of different guys as far as male wrestlers go, yet their requirements for the commentary team has not expanded like their requirements for the roster has.
That's certainly a fair statement, Greg. Speaking of SmackDown, first of all, I mean, Jinder Mahal. I sat through his opening promo last week, and it's more the bad WWE verbiage. He's not bad in the role. He's not bad when he coming out and hitting his mark and talking and all that. The non-wrestling part of it. It just seems like this is a character that's first of all, a generation out of date at least, and secondly, he doesn't really strike me as the sort of killer athlete that you're looking for in 2017.
Jinder looks and carries himself like a star, and I think that's the biggest thing he has going for him is people see him, they see how he walks to the ring, they see how he carries himself, and through that, they accept him, maybe grudgingly, as the WWE champion and as a top star on SmackDown. But you're right, the character itself, if you actually take 10 seconds to think about who he is as a character and what he represents, there's not much there. And I would say the same thing about his in-ring. There's not a whole lot there. Granted, he hasn't had a wide range of great opponents. Randy Orton, he's wrestled 3 times and hasn't had the greatest chemistry with him. Shinsuke Nakamura has kind of been on autopilot on the main roster, so they got a serviceable match at SummerSlam, but that's about it. But I don't think there's this secret 4-star wrestler who's just waiting for the right opponent. Inside Jinder Mahal, I think he is what he is. He's a 2.5, 2¾ or 3-star tops wrestler. And when you've got AJ Styles, Kevin Owens on SmackDown, when you've got guys on Raw who are putting on 3+ star matches, 3.5-star matches on Raw, forget about in the main events of pay-per-views and things like that. It does make Jinder stand out and not in a good way.
Yeah, that's the truth. All right, now, also coming up this week on Tuesday, possibly the biggest match in the history of South Dakota, when in Sioux Falls on Live SmackDown, it'll be Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura.
I really wish I had information to refute that, because I think that would be an interesting tidbit to look up, whether or not this is truly the biggest match in South Dakota. Yeah, it's a big match, and SmackDown has done a really nice job the last few weeks, and Raw to a certain extent as well, of advertising matches ahead of time. Now, it may be only 1 week ahead of time, and to some people that may not be enough. But when they've got a big match...
No, I think that's plenty, though. Yeah.
No, I mean, today, absolutely. Yeah. It's certainly better than advertising it, a half hour into the show, and it's going to be the main event. They've done a nice job on both brands the last few months of really getting out ahead of themselves and advertising matches ahead of time. So that's always a good sign as far as the booking goes.
All right, Twitter question from Wesley. He says that let me just get this again. He says that he thinks Tony Storm and Santana Garrett would be good additions to SmackDown. I can't say I argue with that.
Yeah, I don't think it's just SmackDown either. I think they'd be probably good additions to Raw. Obviously, they'd have to come through the NXT system first. But those are two of the names that you could pick out of the Mae Young Classic as people who would probably be ready to go right on NXT TV at this moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other stuff. AJ Styles, the U.S. Open Challenge. Where do you think this is going?
I think Baron Corbin will eventually successfully answer the challenge. I kind of like the idea, and I tweeted this out. At Greg M. Parks, by the way, during SmackDown on Tuesday night, is I think it would be kind of funny if every week Styles had the open challenge and every week somehow there was a reason Baron Corbin couldn't be the first one to answer it. And then lo and behold, this past week, Ty Dillinger, although it was never really explained how, got out ahead of Baron Corbin, which of course took Corbin off and he took out Dillinger and everything like that. But eventually, it's probably going to lead to Styles versus Corbin for the U.S. title. They could do it at the next SmackDown pay-per-view, which I think is the first part of October.
Hell in a Cell, by the way.
Yes, so you could extend the U.S. Open Challenge, have Styles keep answering challenges on SmackDown, challenges that aren't Baron Corbin, somehow keep that ruse up for a little while, and then eventually have Corbin versus Styles at the pay-per-view.
Now, obviously, I'm looking ahead to this match on Tuesday, and I'm thinking, okay, Nakamura wins. Nakamura gets Jinder Mahal at Hell in a Cell. But, I mean, but you think about this a little deeper. Geez, Randy Orton loses to Jinder three times, and now you're going to have him lose to Nakamura twice, and all he gets in there is getting to beat Rusev at SummerSlam. I mean, is it possible? Is it possible that they'll give Randy Orton the win and make Hell in a Cell the night that Randy finally gets his revenge?
I think at best you'd see a triple threat match, but
okay.
I don't think they're keeping the Rusev thing going. They wrestled in the tag match last Tuesday on SmackDown, so you would have to like cut off the Randy Orton Rusev feud in the middle of it to have Orton go back to feuding with Mahal, which that's not something WWE often does, especially when they've got a direction set out like they do with Nakamura and Mahal. So I think a triple threat or maybe a four-way with Rusev involved too, it would get kind of messy inside Hell in a Cell, which presumably the WWE title would be defended inside a Hell in a Cell at Hell in a Cell. I would have to say Nakamura wins. It could even be something like Rusev costing Orton the match and getting right into some sort of brawl. So. Almost like, oh, you've forgotten about the result because this thing over here is happening and they're dangling something shiny over here. So it's a misdirection that WWE likes to pull when somebody has to take a loss that they can't really necessarily afford at that moment. They'll do something else to divert the attention of the fans to almost make them forget about the result.
Okay, well, I do have a solution for that. You do a second Hell in a Cell match with Randy Orton versus Rusev where Randy Orton wins in 8 seconds again.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. Inside a cell, I don't know about that. But Orton over Rusev quickly again is something I could definitely see happening.
Yeah, that sounds like vintage WWE booking to me. All right, that's our SmackDown segment. When we come back, we have to talk about Raw and what WWE is planning for traditionally what is one of the lowest rated shows of the year. Wrestling Night in America returns after this time out.
Thank you for being a PW Torch Livecast listener. As of mid-July 2017, the PW Torch Livecast lineup has undergone some changes. My shows have moved to a new feed, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available at Podcast One, or just search Wade Keller in your podcast app. But there's tons of great content every week, including Saturdays at 6 Eastern, the new Deep Dive with Rich Fan, covering a single topic in professional wrestling in depth. Join him live with phone calls at 6 Eastern every Saturday. Sunday nights at 8 Eastern, it is Wrestling Night in America with Pat McNeil and Greg Parks, where they focus on the supercards, the big events coming up in pro wrestling, or review the latest one. That's at 8 Eastern, or following a live pay-per-view, if there's a live pay-per-view on that Sunday. And then check out MMA Talk for pro wrestling fans every Monday night at 7 Eastern, hosted by Mike Hisko and other MMA Torch contributors. It's a chance for fans of both pro wrestling and MMA who share that in common to talk about the latest happenings in the world of mixed martial arts. Tuesdays, it's the best of PW Torch Livecast, a handpicked episode from our history that gives you a chance to catch up on a show you might have missed back in our earlier years. And then the PW Torch Nostalgia Hour with Jim Valley is back. It used to be called Saturday Morning Wrestling. Now it's Wednesdays at 5 Eastern. He takes your live calls and interviews some of the big names from pro wrestling's past. And then Thursday nights, following GFW Impact, it's Mike McMahon and Andrew Sochak with a recap of the just-concluded Impact Wrestling show on Pop TV. So as soon as Impact goes off the air in the United States on Pop TV, join Mike and Andrew live right here at pwtorchlivecast.com. They'll be taking your calls. That's the new lineup of the PW Torch Livecast. Great diverse mix of shows with a great group of hosts. Keep listening and keep spreading the word and give us a 5-star rating over at iTunes with some kind comments in the listener comment section about which shows you like and why. That's PW Torch Livecast, new lineup. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Wrestling Night in America returns on PW Torch Livecast. I am Pat McNeil. He is Greg Parks. We work for the Pro Wrestling Torch. Our number is 515-605-9345, and we're continuing our discussion of the big stuff happening in professional wrestling. You know, I do want to add something to our previous conversation on JBL leaving SmackDown. I just have this feeling that WWE is hyper aware of everything else going on, you know, in media to a fault, that with Beth Mowins getting to call the gimmick episode of Monday Night Football next week, that maybe Renee Young is going to get the spot that JBL has, and there is a movement online for that. Yeah.
Yeah, and she kind of jokingly tweeted out that her commentary on NXT when she had the opportunity to do that didn't go so well. So I don't know if that's something she's going to push for. I know there were reports that she was looking for things outside of WWE, maybe meatier things to do than holding a microphone backstage. So I don't know if WWE would look poorly upon that and say, no, we're not going to give her this opportunity if she's going to bolt on us. You know, at some point, or maybe they could put her on commentary in hopes that that's what they could do to keep her around. Here's the thing. Whether she's good or bad is almost irrelevant. It would be a unique voice, and it would be WWE trying to do something different outside the box, along with the Mae Young Classic that's going on, with them even making a big deal about the first female referee they've had, I think, since about the 80s. And the first female referee
they don't talk about Rita Chatterton a lot for some reason.
No, they don't, and I understand why.
Google her if you have a question.
But, you know, with that going on and with the Mae Young Classic and everything like that, it would be a good time to give somebody like Renee Young that opportunity.
Okay. We're going to talk about Raw, and Labor Day Raw is coming up. I thought last week, after last week's show, okay, the main event's going to be The Miz defending the Intercontinental title against Jeff Hardy. That sounds like a perfectly acceptable, you know, Labor Day show. Nice little something for the fans, nothing too exciting. They added a cage match over the weekend, Greg. It's going to be and a cage match that seems somewhat out of nowhere. It's going to be Braun Strowman taking on The Big Show.
Well, this is just another way with Brock Lesnar on his limited dates and, you know, them needing to build up Braun Strowman independently of Lesnar and Paul Heyman to ready Strowman for No Mercy, where he faces Lesnar for the title. I mean, really, they could basically ignore the match for the next 3-4 weeks and people would still be hyped for it. I mean, I think that's the situation we're in with Strowman and Lesnar right now. But this is going to be an opportunity for Strowman to get a big win over a big opponent, bigger than him. I don't know that Lesnar is bigger than Strowman, but they can certainly play up, wow, if he can take out somebody the size of Big Show, he can certainly do that to Brock Lesnar. That could be an angle that they could run on commentary. So I would expect a pretty good clock cleaning by Braun Strowman of Big Show. And, you know, I think that's kind of what they're using Big Show at this stage of his career for. We've seen him put over Big Cass before Cass suffered a torn ACL. So, you know, I can't argue with the decision. I think it's a smart move to put somebody like Big Show who still has some cachet with the audience to put over Strowman at a time when Strowman really needs to look strong heading into No Mercy.
Yeah, and I don't know what the reason, but this September pay-per-view is being pushed heavier than most with, you know, A, Brock Lesnar showing up to make a title defense, and, let's just say, B, John Cena and Roman Reigns. We got to see the epic promo battle on Monday night, and it looked like Roman Reigns struggled a bit, more than a bit, to keep up with John Cena, which is, you know, which is probably not what they wanted. How much emphasis are they going to put into having Roman Reigns being able to look strong on the mic over the next couple weeks?
I think you have to. I think anybody who is objectively watching that segment saw Cena come out quite a bit ahead of Roman Reigns. The thing is, going in, I don't think that anyone would have disputed that fact. Look, we've seen John Cena do it and hold his own against The Rock and more. You know, there were times when he took The Rock out on a mic as well. So Roman Reigns is not known as a guy who's really strong on the mic. He says what he needs to say. He gets in and gets out. He doesn't have that same ability that John Cena has to go on these long rants and to think on his feet. he hasn't been asked to do that. So it's kind of unfair in a way, but hopefully it was done in a way to get Roman to bring something out of him that we haven't seen on the mic. And I think he did at times. I think he did show a little more intensity at times in that promo exchange than we've seen from him in a long time. Something that felt more authentic than the reciting of the scripted lines that we get from him. So, you know, part of me hopes that that was the point of that, to, you know, to bring something out of him that maybe we haven't seen a lot of, that authentic emotion. But yeah, if you told me what the promo was going to be about, and told me that, you know, that John Cena and Roman Reigns were going to have a promo battle, I would say, well, Cena's going to win that pretty handily, and he did. So I don't think it should have been a surprise to see it the way it was. Maybe surprised at some of the lines and how close to the bone they cut some of them. But yeah, Cena, we didn't learn anything. Cena's the master at that.
Plus, I mean, they gave Roman the biggest line they can give him, which is, "Hey, John Cena, you part timer and hypocrite. You're a hypocrite and a part timer." And it didn't land. I mean, probably because he wasn't 100% sure of himself.
And it's been said before, you know, The Miz took that same tact with Cena when they were feuding on SmackDown. And that was the one thing you knew was going to come back at John Cena. And I'm sure Cena knew that, because he went so hard at The Rock when they were building their WrestleMania matches, at Rock being a part-timer and Cena being there every week. And when Cena started to take time off, when Cena started to get bigger movie roles, when he sort of took a back seat as the ambassador of WWE, you know, I think a lot of the fans paying close attention to, and Cena himself had to know that if it comes down to it on the mic, people are going to come at me with that and call me a hypocrite because I came at The Rock with the same thing. So I'm sure Cena has got comebacks for days about that. And like you said, Reigns is, comments didn't hit, and I think it's partially because we've heard the same thing about Cena now. There's nothing new. There's no original ground being tread there by Reigns.
No, John Cena's John Cena. Looking at the results from the weekend from the Raw Tour, the headline match on the Raw Tour was John Cena taking on Bray Wyatt in the Street Fight Walk and Brawl matches. That says, correspondent says, lots of stiff bumps happened yesterday in Kansas City. Let's see. I mean, is this is it bad that John Cena is seen as the Raw main event on a show where you have Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins and Alexa Bliss and The Miz?
I don't think so. I think Cena is still a draw, and as long as he's still a draw, he should be in the main events. You know, WWE is a company about making money. So, yes, Seth Rollins would benefit from being in main events of house shows, and yes, Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns would benefit, but I think if you polled the crowd, John Cena would be seen as the biggest star, and if you believe that putting your biggest star in the main event, the last match on the show, is what should be done, then I don't really have a problem with Cena main eventing over those guys.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think they're making the right move by putting Cena in the main event. But the problem, isn't it a problem that they don't have anybody on their full time roster that's that's as big a deal as Cena?
Cena is a huge star. You know, he's the WWE's biggest star over the last 15 years. So I think it's a little unfair to say, well, WWE should have someone as big or bigger than him. I don't know if he's once in a generational type of guy, but he's certainly up there. And ideally WWE would like to have two or three John Cenas, but, the Roman Reigns push is he's supposed to be the next John Cena, but that hasn't stuck. They'd like to, but the reality is they just don't have anyone at that spot.
Okay. Tell you what, we're about to take another time out. We'll come back and start wrapping up Wrestling Night in America here on this Labor Day weekend. It's been great being with you. 515-605-9345. Fantastic. So don't touch that dial or remote. We'll be right back after this.
you love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them, we'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
And this is Wrestling Night in America on PW Torch Livecast. Pat McNeil, Greg Parks, 515-605-9345 is how you reach us. Greg, it doesn't seem like there was much attention given to the King of Trios tournament this year, and that might have had something to do with the fact that it's in England. I had forgotten about it completely.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a good move to go across the pond. You know, UK companies are coming over here to run in the United States. We know that UK is a hotbed for wrestling right now, and the fans are lapping it up. So, you know, why not try something different?
Yeah, UK is hot. You know, Rev Pro ran again today. Flip Gordon was over there. And obviously, we have what's going on with Progress. Progress has another show next week. It's there is a lot more. There's more to draw from, I think, than ever in professional wrestling. With all these different countries, a lot of different talent and different styles.
Yeah, it's a fun time. Just guys who are coming up absolutely out of the woodwork, and it's really cool to see. And because of social media, like Anthony Green mentioned, you know, guys can make a name for themselves very quickly. This isn't about having to pound the pavement and putting up flyers and things like that, like it was, even 10 years ago. Guys are able to get their names out there a lot quicker, and it's really fun to see these independent wrestlers. I mean, you can, if you're on social media, you can see them develop from the ground up. You know, you can see video and clips of their first matches and all the way through getting signed to a WWE developmental deal. It's just really cool to see. And I think that's what a lot of fans like now. They like being on the ground floor and seeing guys or promotions in their infancy and being able to follow them on social media through their career. And when they get to a high point, even if it's only Ring of Honor, which, you know, that's a big step for guys. If you could say, hey, I remember this guy when I saw him in front of 50 people wrestling his first match. It's cool for fans to see guys that they followed have tremendous success.
And nice segue there, Greg, following guys from the ground up. And Ring of Honor announced this weekend for Death Before Dishonor in Las Vegas coming up in 3 weeks. It will be Las Vegas' own Kenny King, who was on this show. He will get his rematch with Kushida for the TV title.
Yeah,
semi-main event, and that sounds like a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, it does. That's going to be a really solid match. You know, ROH is another company that, with their connections with New Japan and other independent wrestling companies, you know, across the world, they're able to put on pay-per-views where they have some really unique matches too. We talked about it with PWG earlier. ROH is in the same boat now with their connections. And now, you know, GFW, you could really say the same thing about them with their ties to the Crash and AAA in Mexico, with their ties to NOAH in Japan. They're able to bring guys over, wrestle on Impact, maybe wrestle at Bound for Glory this year on pay-per-view. And the connections that are made with independent companies are really allowing some of these unique matchups that we're seeing.
Okay. All right. Zach Zimmerman's on Twitter from Battle of Los Angeles. Second round action underway. Ricochet defeats Desmond Xavier to advance. And they're right in the middle of another second round match, Travis Banks and Marty Scurll. Yeah, this, people are going to be waiting for the download to be available of this, I think. Just a hunch.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Yes. All right. Other stuff we have going on, and we were talking about Bound for Glory. There was a big tag match on Impact this past week, and we're finally going to get this Thursday, September 7th, on, of course, against the start of the NFL season. It's going to be Eli Drake defending the GFW title against Matt Sydal, and it's interesting. I don't know that you know, a lot of people are expecting Matt Sydal to become the top guy in Global Force, but it will be a collision of styles.
Yeah, Eli Drake is a guy who I'm higher on his mic work than I think other people are, just from gauging the response on Twitter to Drake's title win. I don't think he's any great shakes in the ring. Maybe a half step above Jinder Mahal, I guess. We'll see what Matt Sydal can bring out of him next week. You've got the whole thing with Bobby Lashley and his MMA team that's been invading Impact the last few weeks has been really interesting to watch develop. You have to assume Lashley is going to get a title shot against Drake at some point. They seem to be holding it off because they've got this hot storyline they're running with his MMA camp. So, you know, in the meantime, you've got to fill time with Drake feuding with other guys, and that's where we get Matt Sydal coming into the picture.
Yes, I warned you. I did already warn you that this is leading to King Mo.
Yeah, I saw him, I think it was in a video package this past week, talking to Bobby Lashley. So the seeds are being planted.
I know. It's going to be an interesting bound for glory. Not that last year's wasn't interesting when you had all the Hardy craziness going on. NXT, mm-hmm. the little brand that could, they have a TV taping coming up a week from Wednesday. But this week's show, what I like about NXT is they build towards, you know, one big match a week. And this week it's the final battle, you know, pardon the pun, between Hideo Itami and Cassius Ohno. And, it fits in very well with the behind the scenes that Ohno is the new, what Ty Dillinger and Tyler Breeze used to be, the gatekeeper of NXT.
Yeah, and I think people, because when he left WWE the first time, went back out on the independents as Chris Hero and just tore it up and got signed back to WWE with NXT, I think a lot of people were assuming he's going to be into the main event scene in NXT, and that hasn't happened. And I think there are some people who are watching this NXT run and are kind of disappointed with how he's been positioned. But this is going to be a big match for both Ohno and Itami, because with Itami, it always seems like he's needing to prove himself. He came in with so much hype. The injury bug has bitten him a couple times. Seems to have lost confidence. You want to see him string together 2, 3, 4 really good matches in a row to where he can get back up to being where he needs to be considered back into the main event scene in NXT. And Ohno's a guy who, you just root for and hope he does well and hope he continues to rise through NXT as well. So I think it's a pretty important match for both guys next week.
Yeah, I think that that's happening. And then, of course, the week after there's always that one fun episode of NXT per month after the taping. The fun episode is going to be on the 13th when you get Pete Dunne and Wolfgang for the UK title and Red Dragon, finally.
Yeah, they were on this past week being chased out of the arena by William Regal, who has chased more people out of the NXT arena at Full Sail than I can count, I think. There's been a number of moments, he's whether it's Samoa Joe or now Red Dragon and Adam Cole, and it's just kind of funny because he's so good at the facial reactions and things like that that was a good moment to end on for NXT TV this week, having that snarl on William Regal's face as he's chasing these guys out of the arena. So that continues. And what I liked this past week is, they didn't shove Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and Adam Cole down our throats. They picked their moments to showcase them, and it's not like they're taking over the show and they're all over the show at this point. They're being very strategic with how they're using these guys.
Yeah, this isn't the NWO, which I also appreciate a lot, I would say. Let me see here. Okay, Darren Young back on the road with WWE. Charlotte back on the road. Connecting this back to NXT, Bobby Roode's a babyface on SmackDown after being the lead heel on NXT for a while. And he didn't actually turn, at least not as far as I can see. He's being a babyface out on the house shows, too.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that you always wonder about, is what happens in NXT canon on the WWE main roster. Sometimes it is. Kevin Owens had the NXT title on SmackDown when he debuted. But Sometimes it isn't. And I guess this is one of those times where it isn't, that we just accept that maybe Bobby Roode is just so happy that he got promoted to the main roster that that happiness is just taking over him, and now he's just happy and, you know, fist bumping fans and just smiling all the time. And maybe that's why he's a babyface now.
I'm wondering if they're setting up for Roode versus Dolph Ziggler.
They're setting something up for Dolph Ziggler, but I don't know what it is.
I don't either, but I'm just, well, and they don't have, I don't know what's going up with going on with Roode either, but there you go. That's my guess. All right. First of all, Greg, I know that when were you on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast last week? Because I know I have to talk about this. Yeah.
It wasn't this past week. It was the week before I was on Talking SmackDown, so it dropped, I guess, early last Wednesday morning.
Okay. There we go. Are you on? Okay. I am set to be on tomorrow following the 8-hour Raw episode for Labor Day. So you can check that out Tuesday morning when it is uploaded on the Podcast One Radio Network, and that's going to be very interesting. And you know, we've talked about it. This is the new fall season, and it looks like, you know, for once in pro wrestling, where they're actually trying to do, you know, they're actually trying to get important stuff in during the fall. You know, even though it's not the Monday Night Wars, we're getting you know, an idea that that they have storylines that need to be ramped up.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about No Mercy being an absolutely loaded show, which is really unusual to have an off-brand pay-per-view as loaded as No Mercy is. And there's been some speculation that because they're running it in Los Angeles, that because it's such a big market, that they want to have a really big show. And then that if
right.
No Mercy was happening in another city, that it would not be as big. But whatever the reason, you know, I think that a lot of people already, and I think two matches have been announced, three now, but the big ones,
well,
with Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar, John Cena, Roman Reigns, they could stop there, and I think it would draw a lot of people to the WWE Network for that one.
I think Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax and Neville versus Enzo Amore are sort of assumed at this point. So
yes, yeah.
So that would make for four, and that is going to be a curiosity. Okay, well, Greg, it's been fun as always. Thanks to all of our listeners. Thanks to Iconic, who is Iconic One is being our host in the chat room, and welcoming everybody. And we will be back again next week when all sorts of craziness is going on, and we'll talk more wrestling and we'll have more fun. Greg, it's always a pleasure, and I'm also looking forward to the start of football season, by the way.
I was for most of the spring, but
yeah,
when the summer came out and the Jaguars showed their true colors, as per usual, I'm getting ready for the draft already next year.
you can adopt Clemson as your college team. I mean, we'll
Wisconsin's
it.
My college team, and they blew out Utah State, so at least I have something to go with.
Yeah, there you go. That's the spirit. All right, and of course, thanks to Anthony Green for being on with us, and thanks to Zim for checking in with us from Battle of Los Angeles. It's been crazy. It's been fun, and it's like this every Sunday night. And speaking of what we do here at ProWrestlingTorch.com, PWTorch.com, and PWTorchLivecast.com, it's time to talk to you about becoming a VIP member. If you want all the details about that, listen to our friendly announcer. We'll be back next week. Thank you, and good night.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject. and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Killer Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the Ask the Editor format of the Weight Killer Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the live cast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.